The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of UCI or the UCI Board of Regents. For more information on the show, go to kuci.org. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Welcome, everybody, to In the Garden with UC Master Gardeners. I am Katrina Kirkaby, and I'm your host today with In the Garden. Today, we're going to have an exciting show. We're going to be talking about a program that is going to be out at our research center, and it's called Saturdays at South Coast, and it's coming up this June 4th on Saturday, and it's from 9 to 11. And I have the lead of that venue with me here today. His name is Brian Hale. Brian, welcome.
Hey, Katrina. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you're here and glad you're here. I am excited about this because this is one of our activities that we have, and we don't have it that often. It's where we get actually people get to come out to the research center and do a bunch of activities and check things out. So could you tell us what Saturdays with South Coast is?
Well, first of all, let's clarify. It's South Coast Research and Extension Center here at 7601 Irvine Boulevard in Irvine, and it's where a lot of scientific work is done. Through the universities. We have 200 acres, and it's not open to the public. So this is a rare attempt or a rare chance to come in and just see exactly what goes on behind the fence.
Wonderful. You know, this is a research facility, and usually people don't get to come out here, but we are doing this really special event, which is open to the public. I understand it's free, and it's this Saturday, June 4th from 9 to 11, and I understand there's going to be a whole bunch of neat stuff. It's kind of like an open house where people are welcome to come, and there's going to be a whole bunch of different venues. What's going on?
Well, we're going to have things, for example, integrated pest management, which doesn't sound interesting by name, but it's very, very interesting, and it gives you a real perspective on how to best manage your pest situation, whatever it may be, other than just randomly using bug spray. We're going to talk about composting and vermiculture. Vermiculture is the use of worms. Master food preservers will be here. You can learn how to sharpen your tools. We'll have a booth set up that you see at many of the different venues we attend. Ask the Master Gardener. So any questions you may have, we'll have someone here to answer it for you. We're going to have some family-friendly kids projects. Docent tours of our facility, which include three mock homes with different landscapes, and the front of our facility, which is all California natives, and we're also going to have some backyard chickens here. So that's always fun and always seems to have a crowd of people around it.
Wow, and this program is going to be from 9 to 11 only, right? So
yes.
I think you think people to get here a little bit early.
Wouldn't be a bad idea, and then you're just free to go to whatever interests you. Spend a little bit of time, a lot of time. If you just absolutely love the pest management thing, ask questions, spend your entire 2 hours there, whatever floats your boat, so to speak.
And then you don't have to stay to 11. If your boat is floated by 9:30, you can leave.
Sail out of here.
But if you have a lot of questions and you want to see a lot, you probably want to get here early because there's actually enough time to see everything thoroughly. So it's almost, you got to kind of get here and figure out which ones you want to see or just a little bit of everything.
And that's why this is our third of four scheduled. We've had them in February, April. Now this is June 4th, the upcoming event. And then again, we're going to do this on November 5th. So if you can't make it this time, just keep that date in mind. We'll be back on the radio talking about that in the future, but just put it on your calendar if you're interested.
Gotcha. Well, why don't we talk about each individual one of these different open house venues that we have. Where would you like to start?
Well, let's just start right at the top with the integrated pest management.
Okay, Brian, first of all our listening audience might not know what integrated
pest management means. What IPM means.
Yes. Yeah. What does integrated pest management mean, and how does that work with the home gardener?
Well, it's a way to recognize what the pest is and how best to solve your problem. Instead of just randomly getting out the bug spray and just spraying everywhere you can. You need to know that perhaps a good bug is about to eat the bad bug, and in randomly spraying, you've killed the natural way of getting rid of them. I always talk about snails, for example. If they're in your Agapanthus and you have a snail problem, instead of just randomly doing snail killer everywhere, you concentrate. And I'm using that as an example. It seems to be very common. They seem to love Agapanthus, and reproduce there. And so if you can control them in that part of the garden, chances are you've done a major control with the rest of the garden, since that's where they're starting from. So that's just an example of what pest management really is.
You know, I found since I've been a master gardener, I don't use much insecticides, pesticides, or herbicides. And it's kind of knowing what you're looking at and how to control it, you could really cut down on what you're using.
It's an amazing how, if you just really learn a little bit about it, how little bit of pesticide you can get away with.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. And if you do have a pest problem, we are a research state, a research field, so please do not bring your pests here. Leave them at home, but take a picture, you know, with your phone or with a camera, and go ahead and bring that picture here. But please do not bring the pest here, because there's a lot of research programs, studies being done here from all over the state, and it could really mess up a 10-year project. So take a picture of it. If you have a question of what's going on in your yard, or if you have something you don't know how to use, take a picture of that and bring it on out and ask a master gardener.
And that actually going to fold into our other topics, as I described earlier, ask the master gardening master gardener. We'll have a booth here. We'll have, as always, research-based, peer-reviewed scientific information to hand out for whatever your question is. So if you have a particular insect problem, you've listened to the integrated pest management part of the program, then go right to Ask the Master Gardeners, show them your picture, and they will be able to get you the information you need. And if we don't, you know, we're master gardeners, but we're not, you know, professors. So if we can't get you the information then, we will get it to you. We'll go to the experts and make sure you've got everything identified properly.
You know what I think is really cool about that is we have a group of master gardeners that love to research, and they love to find out the answer to things. And if you have a picture of something or you have a question, they'll either be able to answer it right there or they'll be able to get back to you.
Oh, they'll bird dog it. Oh, yeah.
Because
we want to know ourselves. It's almost greedy. It's like, I'll gladly look that up for you. Now, we both know. I've learned and you've learned.
And then they'll share with the rest of the master gardeners.
Yep.
So that's a great place, you know, and it could be about pests, it could be about any of these things that we're talking about here. It could be about compost, it could be whatever your question is, how to grow petunias. You know, just come on out, and there's no question that they won't take or won't be thankful for, and they really like to share their knowledge.
All right, well, let's talk about composting then, since we've covered that. Everybody knows what composting is. Of course, it's a way to... It's not necessarily about reducing the material in landfill per se, because it's going to compost at some point, but it's about just utilizing cutoffs from your garden, extra from dinner, you know, the lettuce you've trimmed up, a million things, and you compost it down and put it back in the garden. In my particular case, where I am lucky enough to have a nice vegetable garden, it's kind of like a natural circle, you know, let's just say the lettuce. You pick the heart and the best part, and you've got a lot of extra leaves. Some have a little bug damage, which is okay because it's organic. And you utilize that in your compost bin. You break it down, and you put it right back in the garden. So it's just like a natural circle.
You know, I find a lot of people really don't know about compost, and there's different ways you can go about it. So you could have compost that you do yourself, or you can actually buy compost to put on your plants. And when we first moved here, personally, I never composted before. And then I found out really, you know, with a yard and all the grass clippings and plant clippings and food from the kitchen, you could really save yourself some money and have some fun. And then you know what's in it, and you put it back in your yard. It doesn't have to be hauled away. And I thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah, composting is... I don't know if to call it fun. I happen to have a tumbler, which makes it a little bit easier, but the stack method works good, and that's what we do here.
Have a husband. That makes it a lot easier, too. He's mm-hmm. got a good back, strong
nice.
Back.
Well, I am the husband, and that's why I like that tumbler, so I don't have to be turning that stuff over all the time.
And if you don't want to do it, they could tell you about composting, where you can go and get compost, mm-hmm. and what's the proper way to put it in your yard,
And then it's just
and
a matter,
how to use it.
Right? And some of this industrial composting, the stuff that you put in the brown trash can and gets chopped up and turned into compost, you know, that's got a good use. But if you may not want that in your vegetable garden, but it is fantastic for everything else. And the reason I say that is because you don't know what source. So the guy just put some chemicals on his lawn, cut the grass the next day, it goes to the recycler, and out it comes again. So there's nothing wrong with it for trees and ornamentals and all that kind of stuff. But the nice thing about gardening is if you want to keep your garden, you know, to some level of organic, then by making your own compost, you can control what goes in it.
And that's especially nice for the vegetable garden part. Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, specifically for if you're going to eat it, you might as well try to keep it as clean as you can.
Wonderful.
And then we were talking about vermiculture. That was part of the process or the this particular venue.
Okay, tell us back up a little bit.
Yes.
Vermiculture. What is vermiculture?
That's where the worms do the work. You don't have to turn anything over.
Worms do the work?
Little red worms, yes.
Little red worms?
You can throw anything on top of them, and they chew it up. And I don't have a vermiculture at my house set up, but there's bins that all stack up, and the worms move down. It's just kind of like a perfect factory. Then you unstack the top one and put the bottom one back up and refeed them and take the good stuff out, which is their castings, which you probably have seen. Most of our listeners have probably seen that in the garden departments of worm castings.
You know, I find that as vermiculture is it's a lot easier if you have smaller amount of space. Is that correct?
Well, they don't need a lot of space, but, you know, it's everything is relative. How much space do you have and how much stuff are you planning on putting in there?
Yeah,
if you've got 15 kids, it'd be nice to have, you know, a couple hundred feet of vermiculture.
But yeah, but I know people with, you know, condos or townhouses that don't quite have the room where they could actually set up a vermiculture and it could feed their smaller gardens. So they don't have to have a huge compost pile.
Right, they could set up in a condo or something because this is just would be outside on the porch and be good for houseplants, small if you're growing something in pots. It'd just be nice to, and it's kind of fun.
It is a trip. Okay, if you've never seen vermiculture, come on by.
Kids love it.
Just come on by just for that. Bring your kids because it's worms, and it's showing what worms can do, and it doesn't take up a lot of room. And so if you have a smaller space or even if you have a larger space, it's fun to do, and it's one way to get your kids involved. Because there's worms, and the worms eat your kitchen waste, and then it makes a product that we could use in our garden. And it's not majorly intensive, and it's something a family can do.
Yeah, you don't have to do nothing, hardly.
Yeah.
Composting, you're constantly doing something. Worms, you feed them and let them do their thing, and then collect the castings and use it accordingly.
God, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Hey, let me ask you this. Now I'm going to turn the tables on you.
Uh-oh.
Because we went down the categories here, and one of them is master food preservers.
Ah.
And that would happen to be your bailiwick. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, I really enjoy master food preservers. And how master food preservers fits in the whole master gardener venue is that once you grow your vegetables, what do you do with it? And we're coming to the time of year where we're going to have a lot of leftover or extra vegetables in our yard. And master food preservers teaches what to do with it. We could either can it, we could dry it, we could ferment it, and it's a lot of fun things to do, and I personally like doing that, and it keeps my harvest. You know, I do sun-dried tomatoes or dry my tomatoes. I'll make kimchi that will last for a long time, and fermentation is good, you know, out of my cabbages and different vegetables in my yard. And they have it all set up, and there's a bunch of master food preservers that actually love master food preserving. And what they do is they love teaching what they have. And when you come here, they'll be doing some demonstrations on how to take your harvest and preserve it. And it's a lot of fun. And even if you don't have a vegetable garden, you can go to the farmer's market and pick up stuff. And it's really not that complicated. And I always thought it was complicated. And they're going to be here answering questions, doing some demonstrations, and showing how simple it can be to either preserve what's in your garden or preserve something from a farmer's market or from the store.
So a simple, just layman's version would be, for example, just making jelly, which is at its basics. You have a run of, in my particular case, I have blackberries. More blackberries you can eat, and for 6 or 7 weeks, there are blackberries by the ton, and then it goes away. So this is a way for me to have blackberries all year, either in the way of syrup or jelly or whatever. So would that be the simple way to understand that?
Oh, absolutely. And you can make jam, you can make jellies, there's all different kinds. You could put canned tomatoes. You know, a lot of us get a big harvest, and there's nothing like
that's another good example, right?
Grown tomato
in December.
Oh, canned tomatoes in December that you know that came out of your garden that are just vine ripe and picked and then preserved, mm-hmm. and you'd be able to have them in December. Because, you know, tomatoes in December don't taste very good from the store.
No, that's a whole other subject. Don't get me started on tomatoes.
Brian is our tomato guy.
Yeah, that's a whole other radio program.
Oh, my goodness. So that's something else. If you know, one person in your family can come and find out about preserving, and somebody else can come find about integrated pest management. You know, you could come here. It's not that large a facility where you can just divide and conquer, or you can all go together as a couple or a family to these different venues.
And it's free.
And it's free. And where is it again? And when is it again, Brian?
It's June 4th, between 9 and 11, here at the South Coast Research and Extension Center, which we lovingly call SCRIC. And it's located at 7601 Irvine Boulevard. And there's a Irvine Boulevard runs through the city, so I guess there was some problems before on some of the GPS. So just a reminder, 7601 Irvine Boulevard, just east of the 241.
And that's Saturday,
June 4th? Saturday, June 4th.
From 9 to 11.
Yep.
Yeah, come out. It's an open house. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And again, it's rare public access. You just can't get in here without a special event, and this is one of them.
Very cool. What else are we going to be doing that day?
Tool sharpening. I'll tell you, I took the class. It had to be 6 months ago. I think you were in the class with me.
Yes.
And we've talked about this privately together, but I think we'd both agree that you don't realize how many tools you have and how nice it is to dig them all out, pruning shears in particular, and sharpen them properly and clean them properly and oil them properly, and they look, with the right process, they look almost new, and they get to be razor sharp. And then you realize, over the years, you've been buying replacement ones when you should have been sharpening your old ones. Because when I went to sharpen mine, I must have had 7 or 8 pairs just of pruners.
Me too.
Yeah. And everybody that's taken the class, amongst ourselves, always talk about how many pruners they have, and they wish they would have taken the class 6 years ago. You could have lived with one.
Exactly. You know, for some reason, I thought it was more complicated. You know, sharpening tools just seem to be complicated to me.
Right, or something a woman can't do.
Or a woman can't.
Yeah.
I always waited for my husband. Now, this might sound sexist, but I did wait for my husband because he sharpened the kitchen knives.
He's the strong compost guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
But it never happened, and I ended up going and buying more pruners and more pruners and more pruners. And when I found out how easy it is, you know, it just takes, once your tools are sharpened, I just go out and it takes, you know, 30 seconds and to tone that, and I go out and it's easier on my hands. It's
easier to use. And once you learn it, I know we've talked about that also. It's just like after a couple of times, I just got my little sharpening kit. I put a little edge back on it, put a little more lube on it. Still looks perfectly clean. And where before I wasn't, you know, I was kind of haphazard with them. They might be left in the rain and so forth. But once you get them back clean again, you start to realize, hey, I'm going to take better care of these. So it might be something nice to do now and then, you know, give your tools away for Christmas.
There you go. Find a good home for them.
Yeah, all the extra ones.
But, you know, really, Brian, for me, I mean, I've gardened a long time, and I've went through long periods of not having very sharp tools and thinking, oh, this is okay, and it really didn't bother me. And it wasn't until I had learned to sharpen that I really realized it kind of transformed my gardening experience because it made it so much easier.
It does. When they're sharp like that, it's enjoyable. It's quick, it's easy, it's clean.
It is so easy. So come on down. There's going to be a couple guys that are really nice there. I believe they're who taught us that are going to be here, and they're just going to show
those two guys alone are just worth the trip. Ed and John are awesome. They really, really
are.
So
much fun, and tool sharpening is an easy thing to learn, and just wherever you think, if you thought you couldn't do it, just come on down because it really is easy, and it makes the garden experience so much nicer.
All right. How about the kids' projects? Let's talk about those for a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. We get so much feedback about the kids' projects. So we have an area set up for kids, and we do different projects with them. And it's one way to get them involved in the gardening and into the yard. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's located in the kids' demonstration garden. So not only do they get to do a particular project, but they really get to see how things grow, what they look like, and I've talked about this before, and I will quickly tell you my experience, which, you know, I was 12 years volunteering at a school garden, and how excited kids can get about planting. And the one in particular that sticks in my mind year after year is carrots. Everybody knows what a carrot is. A five-year-old, a six-year-old, in my case, they were seven. Seven-year-olds, they know what a carrot is. And they know when they were planting a carrot seed, and they can see the carrot tops growing. So there would seem to be no surprise. But when it came time to harvest and they pulled them out of the ground, it almost changed their lives, so to speak. The oohs and the ahs, the heartfelt, it's really something. So it gives them a chance to really see where their food comes from, right down at the basics. You put a seed in the ground, it grows, and that's where the food comes from. So amongst that garden are projects like we had planted some succulents. We were gluing seeds in the shapes of butterflies and all kinds of little tiny activities. So the kids can really look forward to having a good time and taking something home with them and learning where the vegetables come from.
Yeah, and every time you do this, there's a new project.
Yep.
And
Something different.
Something different. And it is a hoot. You know, these kids, you come near there and you just hear laughing and giggling and, you know, their eyes are open and their mouths are just
You get a kid in a garden, I'm telling you, because I've experienced it for so long, everybody's different. It takes something gets exposed in their life and they just happen to have some gardening down in there deep and they actually get to see it. It kind of makes them want to have their own garden and so forth. Hey, you know one thing I should mention, and I didn't mean to interrupt you? It's how to sign up for this event.
Well, how do people sign up?
You go to the following website. And are we going to post this on the radio thing here? Mm-hmm. I don't know what you do with that exactly. I'm just here talking, so pardon me. mgorange.ucanr.edu. So I'll go through that again. mgorange.ucanr.edu. Click on that, it'll bring up to our website. Off to the right, I believe it is, you'll see Saturdays at South Coast Research Station, and click on and sign up right then.
And it's free. Now, a lot of people that listen to us, Brian, drive, so if they can't write that down, one of the easy ways what they could do is just Google Master Gardeners of Orange County.
Yeah, I knew you'd know something about
that.
Yeah,
just
you could
Google
do that.
Master Gardeners Orange County and make sure it's California, not Florida.
Right.
Okay, and on that page, we'll tell you how to sign up for it, too. So just Master Gardeners Orange County, California, and it'll tell you all about it and how to sign up for it.
Good point on the Orange County part, because there are Orange Counties all over, and just for fun, off subject, there are master gardeners in every state and county in the United States. So it would be real easy. I know there's an Orange County, New York, and an Orange County, Florida, Orange County, California. So it's particular. Matter of fact, there's 83,000 of us. How about that?
Across the country?
Yes, ma'am.
Pretty impressive.
Yes.
So do Google Master Gardeners, Orange County, California, and you'll find the information on that page. And
it'll send you to this link.
Send you to the correct link. We're also doing a couple more things. We just have about five more minutes, Brian. We're doing docent tours. Tell us about the docent tours. What's that about?
Well, we have three demonstration homes set up. That's one of the two docent tours. And everything is labeled, and it really shows you what a mature plant looks like if you're making some choices on either California natives or low water or none of the above. It's just a very nice, well-done. Our tour guide, she's excellent, and you'll really learn a lot of different plants. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a little change to the front of my house, and I was pre-radio. We happened to be in one of those buildings as we speak. I was out making notes because it's one thing to see in a pot or one thing to think in a book, but it's actual application right here in Orange County where we live. And how it actually matures and grows gives you a much better feel of making a better plant selection.
You know, I think it'd be great for people who come out and they're thinking about changing to lower watering plants, you know, less water needs, and they could come out and look at the plants and ask what are the names, if they see something they like, what are the names of, and like you said, you'll see what they look like mature.
Well, most of these have a tag on them.
Yeah.
So I think probably all of them, I'm sure we've missed a few in there, but most of them are tagged.
Yeah, so if people are thinking about transitioning their yard this coming fall into more drought-tolerant type plants, this is a good place to go.
We also, out in the very front of our building, have a California native setup, and that is about as clean and good-looking as you could hope for. Again, all labeled. We'll take you on a tour. If we're busy over here, you can do a self-tour because everything is labeled, so the docent tours.
And then you can ask questions.
It's a really nice part of the setup. It really is.
How fun. Now, let's talk about chickens.
All right,
now,
since that's our last subject.
How do chickens come into part of all of this?
Well, you know, we have a couple of Massa gardeners that are absolutely into chickens, and they've started doing public speaking about them, and they have chickens that are willing to travel. I happen
chickens
to be lucky enough, yes, to have chickens myself, but they're not traveling.
So your chickens are home buddies.
Well, my chickens aren't petted, and I mean they take these like serious pets. I just take mine as an egg layer.
So if you're ever looking to possibly have chickens in your yard, mm-hmm. and have eggs and whatnot, this is a place to find out about it. They can answer all your questions about chickens.
The whatnot's the best part. That'd be chicken poop. We talked about composting, chicken manure, unbelievable. It really works really, really good. And we'll also tell you what the limits or what cities allow chickens, which is almost all of them, and how many you're allowed to have based on different criteria. So a lot of people just assume you can't have chickens when, in fact, you can. My recommendation as a chicken owner is whatever you do, do not have roosters, because those are what disturbs the neighbors and can really create some animosity. Like, hey, your rooster wakes me up, but they seem to start around 4 in the morning and can be very annoying. When you just have hens, they lay without roosters. That's their job. They cackle a little bit, but they're much, much quieter and much more acceptable.
So this would be a good place for people if they're thinking about having chickens.
Come talk to these ladies.
And bring your questions. And even when you get here, you'll probably have more questions even if you brought some.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're thinking about having chickens or you have questions about the chickens you have, we have some chicken experts.
Absolute experts, yep.
Gosh, Brian, this sounds like fun. Could you tell us, we're wrapping up our time now, what this event is coming on the 4th?
June 4th, Saturday, is at the South Coast Research and Extension Center from 9 to 11, located at 7601 Irvine Boulevard. A reminder, that's just east of the 241. Mm-hmm. It's rare public access, and it's free, and we look forward to seeing everybody here.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. Everybody that's come to this, it's great for all ages, young and old, families, people by themselves. And it's just very informal, just very relaxed, and it's a great way to see the research center.
Yep.
And to get a bunch of questions answered and maybe to learn a little bit.
I know our time is running out, but quickly, the one comment I've heard more than once is, I always wanted to see what was behind those gates, because as people drive by, they can see it's a research station, but they've always been curious. So that seems to like be one of the attractive parts of this, is what's back there?
And the gates will be open.
They will be open.
Do not bring any pests.
Yes, do not bring any pests.
And when I'm talking about pests, I'm talking about...
Not your husband or something.
I'm talking about spouses.
Yeah,
okay. I'm talking about insects.
I knew you were going there. I beat you to it.
Bring pictures of your insects if you have questions regarding that, or if you have any disease plants, take pictures of the disease
plants. Or questions in general.
Brian, I thank you so much for being here today, and I hope everybody can join us on Saturday, June 4th from 9 to 11. If you want to, get here a little bit early and prepare to have a good time and get a lot of questions answered.
And if you didn't catch our website earlier, you can go just to Master Gardeners in Orange County, California, and that will get you directed to our site.
All right, Brian, thank you for being here today.
Katrina, thanks for having me.
All right, everybody, I hope you have a wonderful week and looking forward to seeing you on June 4th.